Hello and welcome to the Gambling Files podcast, the podcast that's been experimenting with those injections that make you less fat. And frankly, within the first couple of weeks, we're disappointed. I'm one of your hosts, John Bruford, joined by your other host, Fintan Costello. Fintan, hello, welcome to my therapy.
Hey, John.
Now, for listeners watching in black and white, Fintan's had his annual haircut, which I ventured in the before we started recording that it might, now that he's like a top executive, like he's in Leo stuff and all of that jazz, that maybe he's going to be moving towards maybe not fully two haircuts a year, but you know, one every 9 months, maybe.
It could happen. It could happen. I don't want to make any promises. I'd like to thank the team, all their hard work, making it possible.
Is it just one person that cuts it?
There's one cutting.
Do they need scaffold?
No, there's one cutting and one cleaning is typically how it works. There's like somebody just on the vacuum cleaner and then one person cutting. But it's a team effort. The backroom staff have done great work and very grateful for all the support.
That's really good. And it's good of you to acknowledge your team, because a lot of people are like, oh, I'm self-made, but not you. It's quite short, though. Can you still tie it back? Or does it have to be like an onion on top
of your
head?
No, it's too short. Too short for that.
Go on, do it. Onion. Croydon facelift. Go on. No. Okay.
Not your performing zeal. Behave yourself.
Dance, monkey, dance.
So, John, you know what?
What?
We are mere days away.
Are we? From
IGB London.
Oh, yeah, but this is going out after it started.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll tell you what, I had a great time at IGB London. Wow, what a week. It was amazing.
Oh, you gigantic twat.
Tell you what, that Clarion team know how to put on a show. Whew.
They really do.
And so much business. Much business was done. Amazing. So many pints of Guinness were drank.
Some parts of that are safe predictions.
Oh, yeah, like it's like cigars, Guinness, meet some old friends, do some business. It's easy. London and sunshine.
It sucks to be you.
It sucks to be me.
I'll be here slaving away at a hot computer. And we are recording this in the middle of a European heat wave.
Yeah, my EA was sorting out the travel and such. Like, do you want your usual hotel? I'm like, you mean the one with the cigar lounge? Yeah, I want the usual hotel. Let's do it.
What was the air conditioning?
I don't know about that. It's London. I can't remember the air conditioning situation. But yeah, IGB London. Brilliant. Well done, Clarion. You know who else we should thank?
I think people might see through that, though, Fintan.
I know. I'll happily put a stake in the ground now and say I'll have a great time in London next week.
Right. But if you die at the show now, this is going to age really badly.
Play it at my funeral. Fintan, never let the truth get in the way of a good story.
The story of an affiliate. That's phenomenal. And I was looking at a publisher website the other day, just like your standard B2B magazine publisher. Mm. And so many of them are doing affiliate links. I mean, it's unreal. There's only a couple that aren't doing any at all. It's wild.
It's the future.
It kind of is, but so many of them are also doing fucking black market links, and that I'm not sure is the future.
It's it's never let short-term profits get in the way of a press card, I suppose. I don't know. It's
what do I know?
What do we know?
Yeah, so look, just in a little aside, right? I did some of those fat bloke jabs.
Yeah. How'd it go?
Well, I'm still fat.
Takes time, though, right?
Talk about fucking missold.
It's not like an instant. It takes time. It's not an instant fucking, like, you're not like an X-Men or something. Like, it doesn't just like, boom, Wolverine. Nailed it. You got to.
Well, then the internet has lied.
You've got to burn the calories still, right? Well, because it's just a hunger suppressant. And so you still have to burn calories and do shit and lose weight. Like,
just have you been going for a quick note?
more dog walks or stuff.
Refund fat jab.
Yeah, the peptides. If you went peptides, that's the Wolverine jab. You can. There's literally one called the Wolverine stack, apparently, where it's just like.
How do you know about this?
Is this
what executives talk about in the executive washroom?
Look at me. I'm on the Wolverine stack. Pure peptides, baby.
Fenton, I haven't worked out for 2 years, and I'm still confident I could beat your ass in anything you care to mention, except for running.
I was trying to bench press yesterday, and it was fucking pitiful. So it's sad. I've been doing this for a fucking year. This is rubbish. Yeah, I'm not on the Wolverine stack, but I did like the name. It's catchy. It's a good mark. Like if you're selling like really dodgy Chinese chemicals, you've got to give it a good brand to get it over the line, right? It's just some pig farm in China where they're just scraping it off the floor and putting it in the fucking vials.
Like, until Disney's lawyers catch up to you.
Ah, Disney, the law firm or the theme park.
Favorite I bet they've Disney got job. Good lawyers.
They've got the best lawyers. Talking about great people.
I thought you were going to say talking about good lawyers.
We know lots of great lawyers. Friends of the show. This episode is also brought to you by the wonderful people at Optimove, the creators of positionless marketing.
But if it's got no position, Fintan, how does it work?
It is positionless. And the number one player engagement solution for iGaming and sports betting
operators. Number one, you say?
Number one. The GOAT.
It does sound good. And they've been, how long have they been with us? Is this their third year?
Third year.
Wow.
They obviously clearly don't listen to the show, so we're very grateful for that. It's a good screening question for potential sponsors. Do you listen? Do you not listen? No, yeah, they listen.
If they don't listen, we say, oh, you're going to love it.
We get notes.
Don't listen. But that's exciting. Where can people find out more?
If you go to optimove.com.
Oh, yeah.
You get the free demo. If you mention the podcast, you'll actually get a extra free month on your subscription.
And the demo is extraordinary.
Look, if you walk away from just do the demo, you're going to buy it. It solves all your marketing problems.
Yeah, I think it probably does.
You can tell them I said that too. All of them.
All of them?
All of them.
Okay. Funny you should mention Optimove, though. Because it's a company that we are beholden to. I say beholden to. You know how that works. This episode today is brought to you by Gaming Laboratories International. Have you heard of them, Fintan?
I have.
Have you heard that GLI is a world-class testing, inspections, and certification company committed to delivering the highest quality land-based lottery and iGaming testing and assessment services around the world?
I'm not surprised.
You shouldn't be. I think at the heart of it, what we're talking about is that GLI provides suppliers, operators, and regulators with expert guidance for navigating the future of gaming and ensuring gaming innovations meet regulatory standards with confidence in more than 710 jurisdictions.
Jesus Christ, including the Netherlands.
Yeah, yeah. For more information, you can visit gaminglabs.com and by all means tell them we sent you. But honestly, if you're in this industry and you haven't heard of GLI, are you in this industry? But it's funny you should mention the Netherlands because World Gaming, our other sponsor, they moved IGB Live, which you apparently went to, from Amsterdam to London, where it was brilliant for its second year. And we love them very much. We had one of them on in the last episode. You weren't here for that. We had Stuart talking about IGB. And that was nice.
Good.
It's nice. Yeah, it's good. Stuart seems well. He's talking to me from a pub.
So would have I if I had joined.
Oh. Yeah. But also speaking of the Netherlands...
Who is it?
We do have a guest with us. And those of you listening in audio will have not heard him yet because he's managed to not make a sound. He's just nodding to that. That's just mean.
Oh, no. I'm just still checking out what Optimove is, actually. And I still don't have an idea, but I guess I'm not in.
So Just in case they are listening. CRM. So, but what it does is it's automated CRM. They were doing AI, big data, personalization, and like profiling long before it was cool or sexy. So your database suppliers segmenting, you know, it's like everyone says, oh, you know, they're a Feyenoord fan, so send them a Feyenoord offer, and they're an Ajax fan, send an Ajax offer, whatever. That's really easy to say. It's very difficult to do because now you need thousands of pieces of creative, emails, setting up, trafficking, whatever. Optimove just takes care of that and makes that happen. So you can do personalized marketing at scale, but then it's also the sending it through the right channel at the right time. All right, so it's
interesting.
It's yeah.
We don't bullshit about the demo. We both went, holy fuck.
Genuinely legit. And I've got a lot of friends who use it, and I'm like, yeah, come on, is it really that? And they're like, fucking, I wouldn't use anything else. I couldn't do my job without it. So they're the real deal.
Cool.
We are cool. I know it probably sounds like we're like a bit like the Premier League when it comes to sponsors. Did the check clear? Fuck it, get them in. But we do like to work with businesses where we are not lying when we say things about them.
Oh, yeah.
Because life is far simpler.
Just about everyone, so, yeah.
That does remind me, though, Frank, sponsorships are available. We also have the Addiction and Hour with Our podcast, also sponsored by GLI. And we have Desert Island Discs, where prominent members of the gambling industry choose their books, movies, albums to keep them sane while they're stranded on a tropical island. Frank, you should totally do that.
Maybe one day.
Maybe in a couple of weeks, yeah. I'll book you.
Maybe.
So, Frank, I'm probably going to mangle your name. Do you want to do it or shall I just wreck it?
Give it a try.
Frank Op de Voort of casinonews.nl. That's news spelt the Dutch way. So it's N-I-E-U-W-S.
Yeah, impressive, John.
But I'm a big fan of the site. I mean, I'm not visiting every day, but you know, when I was doing that news aggregation thing, I was looking at your stuff frequently. You're doing a great job because you're kind of bridging that affiliate but being useful thing. And I think the best affiliate sites do precisely that. And for the Dutch market, don't tell anybody I said this, but you're kind of in a league of your own.
Well, thank you. Yeah, we give it a good try, huh? Solely focused on the Dutch market so far.
Well, it's good to have a specialism. We've got a specialism, haven't we, Fintan?
Talking shit.
Exactly. So back to them fat jabs, right? No. No, but...
What brand do you use, John?
I was using... I think it's Mounjaro, that's it. That's the one.
How many milligrams?
I'm using the maintenance dose, so the lowest dose.
Yeah, so that's not going to work. You need
You got to take the maintenance dose like once you've lost the weight. Surely that's
the thing. So I was at the Vegas conference on risk and gambling, UNLV conference on risk and gambling, a couple of weeks ago, right? And I was chatting to this awesome dude called Shane Krause, and Shane's been doing all of this research on servicemen and women, active servicemen and women, and veteran servicemen and women, and gambling addiction, which is really, really interesting. And a lot of people that are, or some people that are researching gambling addiction are also looking at commonalities with food issues, because dopamine is the common ingredient there, no pun intended. And so we're chatting away and he talks about doing his food stuff, and I said, well, it's funny you should say that because I'm really fat again, because I've been emotional eating kind of thing. And we chatted about that for a minute, and he said look, I'm not like most Americans where I say fuck it, take a pill for it, get a jab, whatever. He said, but I have a friend who's been in exactly your situation, and he just took a maintenance dose and it basically helped him just get his shit together himself.
But earlier you said the internet lied, but the internet is pretty clear. You don't start with the maintenance dose, though.
Well,
and I use the not maintenance dose, and I've lost a bunch. So I would say give it a try.
The pharmacy that I'm using, my local pharmacy.
Is that a legal pharmacy or is it like an illegal online pharmacy?
It's a legal pharmacy, but they use the maintenance dose basically for the first month to see if you're going to have any side effects.
Okay. So maybe it wasn't
one of the side effects being weight loss.
Here's hope. No, but I want it so that I can do this shit myself. So that I can just calm that noise down, and it's done that, and I'm more focused, and I am sleeping better on the whole, and you know, I'm not complaining. I'm actually really enjoying the experience because mentally the clarity that it's brought is extraordinary. I didn't realize how much shit was going on in my head. I mean, Fenton had an idea, I think.
People that listen to the podcast every now and then, they have a vague idea, I feel. But yeah.
Maybe. But it's a friend was taking it, not because she has any weight to lose, because she had read that, because all of my friends that are around my age are now perimenopausal at least. And for women going through the menopause, the impact on steadying hormones can be extraordinary, apparently. And so my friend is having great results just with that, with a different brand. And we were just chatting about it, and she said, I think you should try it. And like when one of your friends says that, you're like, yeah, maybe. But when that academic was like, well, yeah. And I just thought, you know what? Fuck it. I'll just give it a go, because give it a go for a month. Nothing happens.
But it's not cheap, though.
It's really not. So sponsorships are available. especially Desert Island Discs is currently sponsor free, and Frank will be on that in a few weeks time. Frank,
John, it's been a while.
There's a lot of shit going on in the Netherlands, and it has been a while.
There always is, though.
But why doesn't anything good ever happen in the Netherlands? Like, what am I missing here? Why is it's like they're doubling down?
Outside of gambling, there's a lot of stuff going on. And you mentioned, obviously, that this podcast is going to be broadcasted later. So I don't know what my state of mind is. But as we are recording it, the soccer team is doing quite well, the football team. So
it's true, yeah.
You know, there is good stuff over here, but just not in the gambling space.
Do you think you're in with a shout of winning the World Cup?
No. But we had a nice match against Sweden, so that's something, I guess.
Yeah, Sweden are no mugs, and it was a big win.
Yeah, so right now I'm happy. We're up against Tunisia next, so probably still going to be happy after that. In the group stage, I don't know.
Historically, Netherlands, you've always got a team that's packed with talent, and you always have a massive argument just before the tournament. And this, it seems relatively settled. It seems like a much more unified team.
No, you're wrong, to be honest. I mean, our head coach is still a big fan of Memphis Depay, while everyone sees that he is no longer at the peak of his game. So, no, we're not unified so far. But we'll see. Broby did well. Hopefully he's starting again against Tunisia. We'll see. But yeah, soccer, football, positive, gambling, not so much.
What about gambling on football?
Still very popular in the Netherlands, yes.
See, it's not all bad news.
Yeah, no, we have a whole World Cup section on Casino News, and people are reading it. We have a daily podcast about it. It's still massive. People like it.
Do you know, I've got one football-related claim to fame, right? In 1998, in sort of spring 1998, my publisher comes in, right? And he said, I was working at this, it was a video game magazine publisher. And he comes in and he says, I've got this, we did a couple of football magazines as well. We did the official Arsenal magazine, the official Liverpool magazine. And he comes in and he goes, we've got a contract, we've won the contract from Sainsbury's to write their guide, to write and design and print their guide to World Cup 98. And I'm like, okay. He says, okay, fuck off and do it then. So I'm like, I go away and I come up with a plan for the issue and I do all the photo research. I mean, I put together the whole thing. I didn't design it, but I put together the whole thing. And I wrote about 3/4 of it, I think. But the one thing that I wrote in that I don't think anybody else on the planet recognized was going to happen was I tipped Croatia to make the semifinals. And they did. And this was when Croatia...
You've been a gambler since 1998, huh?
No, actually, 98, I think, was the year that I think Spain played Nigeria. And Nigeria was something like 16-1. And it was the same Nigeria squad that had absolutely destroyed Brazil at the Olympics a couple of years previously. I think it was the Atlanta Olympics. Absolutely tore them apart. I mean, just like for fun. And it was almost the exact same squad. And I just thought, do you know what? I quite fancy this. I had £3 in my pocket. And I put it all on Nigeria to win. And they did. They won. And they won well.
Wasn't it so that at the time in the Olympics, your starting lineup couldn't be like professional soccer players?
No, they could be professional, but they had to be. It's almost exactly the same as now. It's under 23.
Ah, okay. Okay, well.
With a couple of overage players usually.
Oh, yeah.
But it was Kanu, it was Babi Yaro, it was Finidi George. You know what I mean? It was like fantastic players.
Ajax guys.
Serious talent. Was Babi Yaro at Ajax?
No, Kanu and Finidi George.
Okay. Babi Yaro was at Chelsea at the time, just for the record. Yes, and they hammered them. So good times. That was the World Cup where I learned the rule that has stuck with me ever since. Never bet on the team that you want to win.
That's why I bet on Sweden the other day. I come out a winner anyway. You know, if they lose, if they win.
It's the emotional hedge, isn't it?
It's foolproof.
I only figured it out by the final, though.
Bookie, take this one trick.
The final in 98 was France, Brazil, and that wonderful Brazil side with Ronaldo. And, of course, there was all that stuff before the final.
John, can I just stop you there for a sec? Frank, what's going on in the Netherlands?
Well, the latest development is that the state secretary sent a progress letter. I saw a lot of headlines in the international iGaming media where they said, like, this and this and this stuff is going to happen. We're not there yet. It's a progress letter. It's basically her, you know, letting the government know that she's very busy still. She's doing all this stuff. It's not like she's, you know, bored and not doing anything. Just informing what's going on, where she's heading, what her thoughts are. So because there's a lot of stuff in this progress letter, there's a lot of new stuff as well. There's some stuff that she was intending to do, but now decided not to do. We can go over it. But basically just, you know, prefacing everything, like saying, okay, this isn't going to be implemented tomorrow. This is going to take quite a while before we're even close to implementation. So this is a progress letter. She has written that she intends to bring it to Parliament have a proposal ready in 2027. Then there's a consultation phase. Then obviously there needs to be a vote on it. There's some stuff I think that might need to be in accordance with European law. So it goes Brussels. And so this is not going to be implemented tomorrow by any means, but there is some new stuff in there. She wants a almost full ban on online gambling marketing. And we already knew that she was working on it. Mm. Her predecessor already had that in the plans. There's some more detail now. There are some small exceptions that she is thinking about. Like, again, so this isn't set in stone by any means, but this is where she's heading right now. Affiliation is part of a possible exception to her basically blanket ban. And that I feel is positive, obviously, for us, sure. For me, for Casino News as a website. And I feel it makes a lot of sense as well. I mean, I feel I don't have to convince you, but if you look for legal online gambling in Google, there should be a website that is promoting legal online gambling. Because if we disappear, obviously, not everyone's going to disappear. Those breaking the law are still going to exist. And
exactly.
I feel your channelization rate is going to rapidly drop. So I feel that she understands that, and she is acknowledging that. And initially, the plans were to up the legal gambling age from 18 till 21. Now she's saying, we're no longer doing that. That's not a good idea. We're going to lose a lot of players to the illegal system.
Which again, if you look at the US with the prediction markets, like one of the reasons they're doing so well is it's the 18 to 21 year olds that can't get a bet on with an operator, right? It's a really good case study.
Yeah, but it's interesting that she's mentioning it here, her concerns about channelization rate when we're talking about upping the gambling age from 18 till 21. But on some other aspects, she is no longer all that interested in the channelization rate discussion, basically because there's other measures that she's intending on, which also obviously influence the channelization rate, which is still at the core of legal online gambling in the Netherlands. So it's 16 pages. I have it here. It's interesting, but there's nothing like groundbreaking in there, except for it's the first time really that it doesn't mention a blanket ban, but there's still, you know, there's some exceptions to it. So
the blanket ban on advertising, you can imagine a lot of like Dutch media lobbying against that. Like if you're a Dutch newspaper.
100%.
You know, because you're very reliant on gambling as an advertiser. And
I feel they're not going to be reliant on it. These are massive companies, but they're going to be. It's a big part of their income for sure. And when we're discussing these advertisements in the Netherlands over the last couple of years, obviously affiliation comes to mind, but also some of the other stuff. But yeah, like traditional media, the news websites and the newspapers actually, yeah, I feel they made the most money the last couple of years. Not the operators, not the affiliates, but the traditional media. So definitely they are lobbying against this, but we haven't seen a lot of movement there. So she doesn't mention anything about these traditional media companies, affiliation.
In terms of the legislation process, so this is her wish list that gets presented and then debated and changed and haggled over?
It's not even a wish list. This is basically just a progress letter, just letting them know that she is actually doing something, that there's still people working on this subject, because like I said, it's going to be 2027 before she gonna show her actual plan.
Got it.
And then the debate starts, then consultation from industry insiders. But
this is actually in a way quite a smart thing for her to do then. If you release this now, gauge reaction.
Test the waters.
See what happens a little bit. It's a bit like during COVID, right? Where they'd like leak, oh, everything's going to shut down on Friday. And then it's like, oh no, actually it's only going to be this. And so there's a way to, she says this now, and then what comes out is actually better. It's going to be easier or gives time to get more feedback.
I'm not entirely sure. This is part of the process. It's common to have a progress letter like this, and it's expected by Parliament, our government as well, that something like this is published at some point, so they know exactly where she's heading. And if there was something in there that they would definitely disagree with, then they would already bring it up in the next committee meeting. That committee meeting was initially scheduled for next week. I think that's why the progress letter was released last week as well. And now it's going over the summer. So I think it's going to be September before this committee meeting is going to be held. But they'll talk about it there as well. And then they can have motions already after that. They could go over something like in the progress letter, but it's not even necessary because it's basically a work in progress. We're working on it, but like the most the biggest points in there, they are going to be in the end result, but they'll need to find the exact language to use, obviously, because now it mentions we're examining the role of affiliates, and we're looking at exempting from this total blanket ban search results. So what does she mean? Does she mean organic? You know, you can still rank with your online casino in the top 10, or does she mean Google ads, PPC? You know, so stuff like this she is working on, but yeah, that there is going to be in a band with some exceptions, that's pretty clear.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah, and then there's a lot of other stuff in there. So 18 till 21, she's not doing. She's talking about bonuses, which is interesting because she sees a ban on all bonuses as part of the advertising ban. So this is the first time that this comes up. This wasn't a request from anyone in particular. I have never heard of it. She goes further than basically what she initially planned on doing. So it's very interesting because, we all know the bonus is extremely important.
From a channel, I've been in markets where like bonuses have been banned, or I've got really shitty regulated bonuses versus gigantic offshore bonuses, and the bonus matters. I've experienced it in two different markets, and like you just get hammered. I've got 20 euros to spend. I'm going to get way more value for money over here than over there. I'm going over there. It's such a no-brainer.
And that is the problem just from the get-go, obviously, because they also acknowledge that they don't have firm grip on marketing in general. So obviously they can limit what all the legal operators do, but they acknowledge that they don't have any influence on what the illegal market does, because they mention, well, not by name, but you know, they don't control Meta, they don't control Google all that much. There's a wild spread of illegal operators and whatnot. So if you limit the bonuses, not just the illegal ones are going to have better bonuses, but they're also extremely more visible. So it's that's problematic, and that's why I said it's interesting that she acknowledges the channelization rate impact of upping a gambling age, but not acknowledging it in the wider view of other measures she's contemplating. Yeah. So about this is like it's not a throwaway line, but it's just a single line, you know, where we're looking at banning all the bonuses. But what does she exactly mean? Is it just welcome bonuses? Is it retention bonuses as well? Is there a way around it, you know, better odds or whatever? You know, people are creative in our industry, of course.
Sweepstakes, so, right? You get raffle tickets. Yeah. Like it's we're going to put you in a prize draw to win a house.
Yeah, exactly.
Or win £500.
Yeah, there's one prize and one entry into the tombola. Yeah, and it's you. Yeah, congratulations. No, I mean, so this is going to depend a lot on the language that she's going to choose, because that's obviously going to be dissected by everyone in the industry. Okay, how do we work around it, or how do we work with it, whatever way you want it. But so yeah, we're not there yet. This is a progress letter. We'll have to see what she does. There's other stuff in there as well. The regulator, the Kansspelautoriteit, the gambling authority, is not going to get fake IDs. They wanted fake IDs. I don't know if you guys have heard of it, but basically they feel that when they sign up for an account on one of the legal operators, that you know they're making themselves known to the operator who they are, because they sign up with an @kansspelautoriteit.nl email address. So they wanted fake IDs so they can sign up without the operators knowing who they are. And basically it said, no way, we're not going to do that, because obviously in the Netherlands, you don't just need like a fake passport. You need a bank account as well. You need BSN, an identification number and whatnot. So this basically the state secretary said, yeah, no, fun ID, but we're not doing that. But they are, the regulators gonna get the option of, suspending a license. They already kind of have that option in their arsenal, but they're going to improve that, and they're going to make some improvements on the self-exclusion system. And a lot of them make a lot of sense. One of the interesting things, actually, in what do you have in the UK? Gumstop. Yeah, so we have Crux. It's kind of similar, but one of the interesting ideas that she has is that when you self-exclude, you get the option to have someone else, like a spouse or whatever, be informed when you un-self-exclude. So it might be an extra burden. So if you say, all right, I want to gamble again, okay, that's fine. But we're going to let your wife know.
We're telling your mom.
Basically.
No, that's fair. Cool. That's,
I mean, but it is.
But that's one of the key things about recovery. It's accountability.
I like that.
Yeah. So it might help. I mean, the thing she proposes for the self-exclusion system makes a lot of sense to me, but I'm no expert on gambling addiction, of course. But yeah, there's some interesting stuff in there.
And the obviously, a lot of this is about, you know, okay, tightening up the Dutch market, even though it's fairly probably overregulated compared to other markets. We should probably touch on channelization. So what is the state of channelization right now?
Yeah, that's the tough part. If we had extremely high channelization rate and, you know, you want to limit some of the things, I can entirely understand that. Problem is, when you look at GGR channelization rate, so it's around 50%. That is basically a giant disappointment. Obviously, that was not the intended goal for regulating online gambling in the Netherlands. So from every euro, 50 euro cents goes to the illegal market in the Netherlands. And that's still a...
That's huge.
Just a failure of the system. Yeah. That's obviously numbers coming from the regulator, not just me making this stuff up. When you look at channelization rates on the number of players, the regulator now says it's around 90%, which is pretty good. So there's some debate on that, but so basically 10% of the market plays with the illegal operators, but they spend half of all.
Which is
all the
your
money.
Classic casino VIP. So basically, the VIPs are playing offshore.
Yeah, all of them.
Yeah, literally all of them are offshore.
Yeah, well, so we have deposit limits in the Netherlands, which is at the moment. They're also talking about overarching deposit limits, but we don't have them just yet. They are going to come in the Netherlands. But right now, you have a deposit limit of 700 euros a month for 24s and up per operator. So, you know, we have 30 operators. So, but still, high rollers, if they can play for more than 700 euros a month with one operator, but they'll have to show a proof of that they can afford to lose more than 700 euros. And basically, Toto, which is our state operator market leader in the Netherlands, they said something like 1 or 2% of all the people that we ask to prove that they can afford it does it. So the 98%, they don't even bother. They don't want to show their tax income or their income with an operator like that. So, yeah, it's already kind of problematic. And if you're losing the VIPs now and you're going to start with banning bonuses and whatnot, I am afraid that you're going to lose more of the market, obviously, not just the VIPs, but also the casual player.
It's that mid-tier kind of guy, like, you know, I've got 700 euros a month to play with. I want to maximize my deposits and, you know, I know what you mean.
Just making sure that, I mean, 700 euros a month is a shitload of money, obviously. You know, I would never advise you to spend 700 euros a month on online gambling. But yeah, there is a lot of players that can afford it, want it, and I feel they need a place in the legal system as well right now. Obviously, the in reality, they don't find their place.
Scary.
Yeah, but it's also a little bit of a tiresome discussion, because in the Netherlands, I feel that the word channelization has, you know, a negative connotation to it. People, especially in politics, the people that oppose online gambling, they see, oh, here he comes with his channelization rate bullshit. You know, they see it as a lobby or a marketing terminology instead of actually what we're talking about, people that are getting addicted and are losing their place in the system. And one of the things that's interesting as well, we have in the Netherlands, it's called LADIS. It's basically run by the government. Once a year, they publish all the numbers for addiction. So the number of people that found their place to an addiction care center. For all the addictions you can think of, drugs, alcohol, and obviously gambling. And that number of gambling addicts is slowly, growing. It's minor in compared to alcohol, which is the biggest problem in the Netherlands, and drugs, but it is growing, which is obviously a concern.
Mm.
Because that's not something that we're looking for. We don't want people to get gambling addiction. And obviously the framing now is that, you know, we decided to legalize online gambling, and now the number of addicts is growing. I feel that makes a lot of sense if you put it like that. But at the other end, we have now this whole system in the Netherlands where if you spend too much money, then the operator has a duty of care and whatnot, maybe show you where you need to go if you have a gambling addiction or issues there, or maybe if you're not there yet, but you want to talk about it and whatnot. So more, you could also see this number going up as proof that the system is working. More people find their ways to the system. I'm not sure, but you know, the framing right now is all online gambling regulation in the Netherlands. It's a failure. We failed our society by legalizing it in 2021. It's all one big bad idea. The number of gambling addicts is going up. We are losing to the illegal market, whatnot, blah, 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 blah. I feel there's a lot more context to it and nuance, but yeah.
This is the problem, right? We're all smart enough to have two ideas in our head at the same time. All right. And the problem with these arguments is they become very polar. It's like, this isn't a black and white thing. And there's a funny example I saw the other day of in World War I, when the British Army introduced helmets, head injuries skyrocketed. And the British Army's like, oh my God, these helmets are causing head injuries. And it's like, no, these people would have died without the helmet. And that's why head injuries have skyrocketed. So I think, you know, your point of, okay, there's more people getting gambling addiction treatment, when if it had been the illegal bookie that they were gambling with in some cafe somewhere, he's not going to say, hey, mate, you've got a problem. He's going to pull you in with a payday loan and break your knees, and you're probably going to suicide, right? Or, you know, the extreme examples. But there is this, like, creating the system and signposting and kind of guiding people to support.
Yeah, because it's earlier, huge. before the legal system, they said between someone you know, getting a problem with gambling and showing up in the system, there's an average of 7 years between those two points, which is obviously 7 years of destruction. Hopefully now in our system, in our legal system, that is declining, that it should be quicker, right? You have an issue and you sign up hopefully the next day to get better. But obviously when that time between those two points declines, then obviously the number is going to grow.
Yeah,
they're going to go up. So there's it's an issue, but I'm just sharing this because the general ideas about gambling, online gambling regulation, are negative at this point. Generalization rate is not popular to mention right now. Everyone is pointing at the illegal operators, of course, but people are growing tired of that as well. I think, like yesterday, our VNLOK, the organization that is representing the legal operators in the Netherlands, they filed a lawsuit against Meta, because Meta is not doing all that well when it comes to showing illegal operators on Instagram and Facebook and whatnot. But that's like, so every comment, the comments on this article on our number one news website in the Netherlands were all like negative towards the legal operators. So like, oh, here they come, you know, they're bad losers and whatnot. So it's right now, online gambling is viewed on kind of negatively in the Netherlands.
We still have stuff to
write about it in the Netherlands, in casino news. Yeah.
We're in a fight where people don't understand the nuance. And when we try and stand up for regulated industry, but you would say that.
But sometimes we are maybe a little bit too nuanced, or always pointing to the same bad actors and whatnot, instead of looking at ourselves. Or
this is my
we're too sexy.
This is always my issue, right? Because obviously offshore is a huge issue, but I think the biggest challenge that the legal operators have is you can't just keep saying offshore.
Exactly.
Right. It's too easy to be dismissed, particularly in the early days when the data is not there. It's, in a way, it's much easier now when you just point to 50% of GGR. You know, like that's tax revenue that's just gone out the door.
That should, you know, right. Get people woken up in our government. I feel like you're losing all of this money.
What's the financial estimate for the black market in Netherlands?
So it's 50% of everything. I think like we're doing $1 billion in the Netherlands. I'm not as sure. I should look it up. I mean, we have articles on it, but I just don't know from the top of my head. But like it's considerable enough to make a dent in the Netherlands, yeah.
For the size of the country, it's a significant chunk. Because I did an interview with Laurent Lassias from Joa Group in France, and he was saying that the French black market is estimated at $1.5 billion.
Yeah, but they don't have legal online casino, right? So
no, they don't.
So everything is illegal right away, yeah.
But it's complicated. I was looking at them. I think it's might have been compliance and more today. Dating this recording.
Oh, no. But I'm just back from London.
but the VN, how did you say it, Frank? Did you say VNLOK?
Yeah.
They published their first responsible play monitor.
And I was there, yeah, when they published it, yeah.
Interesting figures. I mean, the thing is, like, if somebody wanted to be sensationalist with it, they really could be, because it's almost 1.8 million intervention measures in 2025.
And that's the issue there,
but
as well.
That's every interaction, isn't it?
Yeah. So if you log in after 12 o'clock in the Netherlands, you need to get a pop-up, and every single pop-up is an intervention. So this doesn't mean like 1.8 million times people were told you can't bet this and this and this, mm-hmm. or have a cool off. No, there's a lot of intervention. So obviously that's an issue, because yeah, if you have a sensationalist, you need a headline. 1.8 million sounds like a lot. My issue is if next year they're going to publish the report again and that number is going up, is that a failure of the system or is it working?
I see it as a positive.
I don't know. Yeah, of course. But if it was 1.8 million interventions this year, next year it's going to be 1.9 or whatever, too, then you can easily frame it as something negative. And the general public won't know. So I feel they need to be very careful with these kind of publications. But yeah, no, I was there and it was it's interesting. And yeah, they're trying to frame it as well, like we are the protected market, and that's the right approach. I feel they should be more protected versus unprotected instead of legal versus illegal, because a lot of people don't care, don't know. So you should point them, what are you guys doing in the legal market better? Why am I safer? What you know, show the benefits of being in the legal system, not just to the players, of course, but specifically to the opposing factions as well in our government and whatnot.
One of the interesting things in the Compliance and More newsletter, which Compliance and More is fantastic.
It's good.
It says on affordability, members opened around 75,000 checks into whether a player could fund their gambling requesting payslips or tax returns. VNLOK noted that many players simply declined to share the information and were consequently barred from depositing more. I wonder what they did. I wonder where they went to gamble after that.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a couple of options, of course. They could go to another operator, because then they still have to save a seven on limb, or they could stop gambling altogether, which would be obviously not to the industry's interest, but it could happen. But yeah, like you said, like you imply, you can just as easy go to the illegal operators in the Netherlands, where there's like a lot of them, and they're very visible, and yeah. And they prey and they target on these on the weak. You know, there's like dozens of casino without crux in the Netherlands websites, mm-hmm. and they have a whole nice list of where you can gamble without any problems. So yeah, it's tricky. But like I said, we have enough to write about, because there's new stuff happening every day in the Netherlands. So casino news is never. Never a boring day. Yeah.
And look, I think it also shows, if you ever need to know anything about the Dutch market, check out Casino News, follow Frank on LinkedIn, get the real facts.
Fenton is correct.
I'll say it.
I don't always agree with you, Fenton, but on this I do. Frank, thank you so much for joining us. It's always a pleasure.
It's been a while, but happy to be back. Thanks for having me, guys. Good luck during IGP. I'm skipping it this year. I'm going to Lisbon.
But IGB was brilliant. Around. I can't believe you missed it.
Yeah. So sorry I missed it.
If you've enjoyed this episode of the Gambling Files podcast, please find us on LinkedIn. Give us a big, juicy, succulent like. That nearly went wrong. You can find us under the name The Gambling Files Podcast. You can find us on Twitter under The Gambling Files. I think the handle is just at Gambling Files. You can connect to myself, John Bruford, or Fintan Costello, also on LinkedIn. We're also both on Twitter. And you can find all of our previous episodes at www.thegamblingfiles.com. If you enjoyed it, please share, tell your friends, tell your family, tell your colleagues, and we'll see you next time.